See, you can come to a point of being a POW because of your own compromises or because of other people's compromises. And you get bitter because of it. Now listen very carefully. The devil doesn't care what side of the boat you go off, just so long as you go off. Go off. Because in either case, you're in the enemy's camp and you're behind enemy lines.
Aloha and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday when we left off, Pastor Wayne was showing us how Peter lost his identity and became a POW, a prisoner of war. If you heard the program, you're probably thinking, yep, I can relate to that. I'm a lot like Peter. Well, today Pastor Wayne will show us how we can reclaim our identity. It'll be coming up in a message entitled, Peter, a POW Speaks on Identity. But first, let's take just a moment and join the family of New Hope in a time of worship. Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Peter, a POW Speaks on Identity.
And so the first is, he would say, pursuit, be in hot pursuit. And the second is a oneness with Christ. So that you're not only identifying with Christ, but honored to be identified with Christ. There's a sense of oneness. But when that happens and there's a oneness, that's what you call having a whole life or a complete life. You know what that word in salvation is in the Greek in the New Testament? It's the word sozo. And you know what it means actually? It means oneness or wholeness or completeness. So when there's a salvation that takes place, what you believe and what you live becomes one. That is how God changes you from glory to glory into His image. That's called salvation or oneness or wholeness. The Old Testament word for that is the word where we get the word integrity. And if you're a mathematician, you understand that an integer is a whole number or a complete number. Same word in the Old Testament and New. It actually means person of integrity. So when you're a person who's saved, there comes character in your life. And character of integrity and other things come because there's a sense of wholeness. Because you see, when your lifestyle does not match what you believe, you're going to make some unwise decisions. Decisions that are so unwise, it'll get you in trouble. But it is only when your lifestyle starts to match more what you believe and you start disciplining yourself and cutting away, pruning stuff that isn't you until you say, this is me. When this happens, I tell you, I guarantee you, your decisions will be so much wiser. When it's like this, it's unwise. So here's what Peter would say. When there's a hot pursuit and a oneness, there comes, would you write down a number three, a wisdom. A wisdom in your decisions. Why? Because you're matching your faith with your actions, and that brings integrity. The opposite of that would be full denial. And that's what happened with Peter. Let's read what happens when this Baywatch girl comes into his life. Let's read it. Go. A servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight and looking intently at him, said, "This man was with him too." But he denied it. After about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, "Certainly this man also was with him." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you are talking about." Immediately while he was still speaking, a rooster crowed. I don't know what you're talking about. I used to go to church. Not anymore, man. No, that's not me anymore. No, and we just become full denial. When that happens, we are defined as what we find in Titus 1:6. Would you read that with me? Go. They profess to know God, but by their deeds we live a dual life and we make it normal. It's like, hey, who cares? Sometimes we live this denied life that we know who we should be on the inside down deep, but we're so full of ourselves and so desirous to do our own thing that we have to deny Christ in order to give us a little bit of latitude to do what I want so we're not filled with conviction and guilt. And so what happens is we then live in denial. Now, you can come to a point of denial because of your own compromises in your decisions, or watch this, or you can come to a point of denial because of other people's compromises, because of a leader's compromise or somebody else, what they did in church, or that Christian. You know how Christians are over there? See, you can come to a point of being a POW because of your own compromises or because of other people's compromises. And you get bitter because of it. Now listen very carefully. The devil doesn't care what side of the boat you go off, just so long as you go off. So if it's your own compromises, great. Well, it's somebody else's compromises. They did it. Great. Go off. Because in either case, you're in the enemy's camp and you're behind enemy lines. I just received an email the other day from someone that was like that. He talks about how much he hates Christianity when he was raised in a Christian school and with Christian parents. But watch how he shares of why he doesn't like Christians and then the rationale he gets from that. Listen to this email. "Today while at work, a bunch of people from the church I used to attend had dinner at the restaurant right where I work. I'm a busboy there. One of our servers later made a comment, 'Man, I hate church people. They're always so pretentious.' He had waited on the table where these church people from my church were at, and needless to say, they just got to be about the worst customers or guests I've ever seen. Rude to the server, complained about the food. They didn't even let the server take the food back to get it fixed. They took up a good deal of the server's time ordering. And when they left a terribly poor tip. Must have been Elwin. Which is pretty much what servers and bussers live off of. The way many church people live is what makes people hate them. And then he continues a little while longer. Listen to this. But anyway, I honestly think that people like me need vices to live. They need to learn about the real world out there and how things really go down. Not some Christianized, happy-go-lucky stuff that gets shoved down your throat in overly Christian environments. You'll notice he'll blame the actions or the compromises of others so that he can compromise on his own. And he's in a state of denial, in a backslidden state, is what we call it. And he's behind enemy lines. We all have a tendency to do that. We all have a tendency to slip. And we get behind enemy lines. But I tell you, even like in Peter's life, even though when Christ was crucified and he had denied the Lord, it was later on that Jesus goes and finds him to rescue him. Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to the shore. Gets out of that little boat that he was in. And he swims to the shore. And when they get on the shore, Jesus says, "Peter, do you love me?" "Lord, I love you. Feed my sheep. Come on. Be who I created you to be in the beginning." Because that's where freedom is going to be found. And would you write in your last bullet there, freedom. You know what freedom is? Freedom is rejoicing in who God made you to be. Because when we come out of the enemy's camp and you have backslidden for 3, 4, 5 months, I want you to know that Jesus is like that prodigal son's father that will embrace you and hug you and say, "Welcome home. It's good to have you back." Sometimes we think that God's going to be an interrogator, someone that's going to heap guilt on you. But I tell you, listen to what the Bible says. Read it with me out loud and see. Go. I can guarantee that God's angels are happy about one person who turns to God and changes the way he thinks and acts. Isn't that great? All of heaven just lines up to say, "Great to have you back." In a movie recently remade and released called Rescue Dawn, it's a true story about Dieter Dengler, who's a lieutenant that was shot down as a pilot over Vietnam, Laos actually, and was captured by those sympathetic to the Viet Cong. He was in a prisoner of war camp for a long time where they were trying to destroy his identity. And they, with propaganda, would say how terrible America is, how terrible. And if you will sign the statement that says America is terrible and that you don't want to be identified with it, then it'll go really well with you here. And he refused to do that. He says, "I can't. This is just who I am." Things didn't go real well with him. But in a daring escape, he and some other prisoners escaped from that prison camp. But now they still were in the jungle and they still had to get to what they said at that time was the Mekong River to try and get into Thailand and hopefully get a rescue at that point. He and another guy made it out, and they were going down when they were pounced upon by some of their enemies. His friend was beheaded. He escaped and finally made it to the Mekong River, where some of his Navy buddies had seen him and came with a helicopter to rescue him. I want you to see this clip. I think you'll like it because it'll remind you of heaven. Let's take a look.
SS Ranger!
Authenticator! Rescue. What's your authenticator?
Rescue dog!
Louder!
Rescue dog!
Confirmed! Confirmed! It's him!
Way to go, buddy.
They kidnapped him! They brought him here to us! The CIA held him for 4 days, but they can't! Lieutenant Dangler? Good to have you back.
Reminds me of the angels in heaven rejoicing, the Bible says, when one of us comes back home to the Father. I want to share two things in closing. One is this. If you are someone who is caught behind enemy lines, I want you to know that God is waiting for you with open arms. And He's given you the way to come back through the cross of Christ. He gives you the entryway. But here it is. Even though He broke out of His prisoner of war camp, he was still in the jungle, and he still had to find his way out. And when he did, there was a rescue waiting for him. You've got to get out of that camp if you're caught behind enemy lines. The situation you're in, the people that you hang around with, those that are those that you identify with. All of those things, you're just going to have to break out of it. Whatever you need to do that's destroying, eroding your identity and who you are and your morality and that freedom that is yours in Christ, you got to break out of that, whatever you got to do. And then rescue is made available for you. Whatever you need to do, because He is waiting. He is waiting. I want to say something else to this church. There's going to be people that will be sometimes backsliding. We don't pray for that. We don't hope for it, but it does happen. And you'll see them missing in action for a while, probably behind enemy lines for a while. But I tell you, when they come back, rejoice. Rejoice. Welcome them with open arms. No, not like those that would be interrogators. Why'd you do this? Why'd you do that? And why? Rejoice. I remember there was one guy that left New Hope several years ago and got involved with some stuff and was really a part of leadership here, actually, and volunteer leadership, but slipped away and began to gain a bad reputation of being very loose and going into drugs and some other things, and it was just a bad, bad reputation. Hadn't heard from him for a year, maybe, a little over a year. Till one Wednesday night, I saw this shadowed figure coming through the back door, and as I looked, it was this guy. He's kind of, you can tell in his eyes, he wasn't really proud of who he was, but he had the courage to come back. And so I started making my way over to him, and just then someone else cut in front of me, and I overheard him say to this guy that just came in the back door, "What are you doing here?" And I thought, no, you don't know the valleys he's gone through and the amount of courage it took him to come back to be rescued by Christ. Let's let him be rescued. And we should be the entourage that are cheering him on. And I remember going up to him and hugging him and just held on to him for a long, long time. And I whispered and I said, "Welcome home. Welcome home." That needs to be our heart, because there's going to be people like us that come back, like the prodigals that come back, and they come home to a family that says, "We love you." Would you agree to that? Let's stand together. I want to pray for you as we close, so would you please bow your heads with me as we close in prayer? Some of you might be here today and you say, "You know, Wayne, I'm like Peter. I think I'm following Christ at a distance. I'm not in hot pursuit of Him. But I can feel myself sliding sometimes just closer to the enemy lines." Some of you might be saying, "You know, I'm actually sitting among them." And the Lord has spoken to your heart and said, "It's time to get closer." Some of you may be caught right now behind enemy lines, and God is saying, "You need to get out of that POW camp. You need to break through. Whatever you need to do, get out of that so that I can rescue you." You need to be willing to do that. And if you're here and you say, "That's me, I want to press back in. That's my heart. If that's you right now, would you just raise a hand and let Jesus know that? Yeah, the Lord sees that. Yeah, the Lord sees that. Yeah. If you're here and you say, you know, Wayne, I'm someone that was born behind the enemy lines and that's all I know. But I know that there's something more for me on the other side. I need to be born again into the kingdom of God. And I know that He's there to rescue me, and I know that the cross is the entry point. And I want to pursue that. I want to traverse the jungle, and I want to go towards that. And I want to enter through Him who is called the door, Jesus Christ. Because God knows I need forgiveness. God knows I need a new life, a new beginning. And that's what I want. And the Bible says, if you hear His voice, then whosoever will may come. All you have to do is say yes to His invitation to take a hold of His hand, to receive Him as your Lord and Savior so that He can begin His work in you. If you're here and you say, that's me, I need to be born again. I know that there's more for me, and I want to give Jesus my heart. I want to become someone who is called a follower of Christ. And I know I've got a lot to learn, but I need to start that pursuit of freedom in Christ. Lord, would you embrace me? If that's you, would you raise a hand and say, yep, I want to receive Christ. Yeah, yep, good, okay. I want to receive Christ, yeah, okay, all right. Yeah, Jesus sees those hands. He sees your heart too, okay. Yeah, He sees your hearts. This is an important move for you. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make in your whole life. Okay, good, good. It won't end your journey, it begins it. A wonderful journey with Christ. If this is the first time you've received Christ, outside there are some yes packets. People have said yes to Christ. In it is a Bible and some follow-up material. Please grab one. It's free of charge. But let's all end by praying this prayer. Let's pray it out loud and let's put our hearts into it. And if this is the 50th time you've done it, let's all pray it as we renew our hearts to Christ. Would you pray this with me? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus who rescues my soul. I ask that you would come into my life and change me, rescue me, help me to be more like you, help me to press into you in hot pursuit of Christ my Savior. Forgive me of my sins and make me new. And now I say this so everyone hears, so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, thank you. This is the cry of our hearts. Thank you for welcoming us back home. What a joy it is to press in close to you, for the nearness of God is my good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Welcome these home to Christ who said yes to the Lord.
Take my heart. Somebody a hug, would you, on the way out?
You have just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Peter, a POW Speaks on Identity by Dr. Wayne Cordero. Thank you for listening. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.